This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan with Shazana and Noel in the studio this morning. Speaking about funds and equities and stock prices and charts, we move over to, the UK, where we're taking a look at equity funds. They saw £6.2 billion in net inflows in the second quarter this year, close to matching net flows for the whole of 2020. Inflows compared with £3.9 billion invested in the first quarter this year.
So many attribute the growth from UK savers that have put aside an extra £192 billion in their bank accounts since the pandemic began. However, there are some signs of nervousness as a slowing of investments into UK funds has been observed since June. And muddying the medium-term outlook will be whether the UK will be able to contain the pandemic arising from the Delta variant. And there are still some lingering concerns over tensions regarding the Northern Ireland border in Brexit negotiations with the EU.
With the end of the stimulus looming and strengthening sterling, how will the government and the Bank of England ensure sustained momentum in the second half of the year? Well, to help us with this, we're speaking with Thomas Moore, Senior Investment Director at Aberdeen Standard Investments. Thomas, good morning and thank you for joining us. Now, investors have had an aversion to UK equities for a while, with many portfolio managers underweight on the UK over the past 3 years. Is that pessimism warranted in your view?
Good morning. Yes. Well, actually, one of the things I would say about the UK market is the macro and political drivers behind the UK market have caused this risk aversion. So the companies themselves are doing well. We have a good rule of law here. We have good, well-run companies. Some of them are big household names. But what you notice is that the valuations that the market, generally international investors, are placing on these UK companies is far lower than the valuations they will place on similar companies around the world. And we think that's mainly because of these macro and political drivers, such as the UK leaving the EU, the whole Brexit process. Obviously, the UK had a bad COVID, and I know lots of countries are having new waves of COVID, but the UK had a particularly bad winter and into the spring. And so now things are looking a little bit better. And also companies are no longer talking about Brexit. So this is a kind of past, this is in the past now.
Well, it's interesting you say Brexit is in the past, but Northern Ireland border checks remain a sticking point. Have markets priced that risk in?
Well, it still comes up in the news. That's true. But in terms of the market, it's really priced in, and the fact that sterling is actually appreciating. I always think if you look at the sterling exchange rate against, let's say, the euro, which is a kind of good way of analyzing how much is in the price for those headlines that you see about Brexit. Actually, sterling's been on the march all year, so it hasn't been super strong, but it's appreciated all through the year. So it's been a pretty linear movement upwards in sterling. And so every time you see a headline, I would just encourage you to have a look at the exchange rate and say, is this really a big deal? And normally, I the reality is there's a lot of saber rattling by politicians. And Boris Johnson, our prime minister here in the UK, he's the kind of guy who likes a headline for political reasons domestically. And obviously politicians do that all around the world, right? But here in the UK, it's particularly true because we have a flamboyant prime minister who likes to cause a stir.
And how has Brexit impacted London's status as Europe's financial services hub?
Well, it's really interesting how that's evolving. So we have a finance minister called Rishi Sunak, who is extremely commercial, and he has a background in finance. In fact, quite a few people in the UK government have some sort of link with finance. Now, you could say that's a good thing or you could say that's a bad thing, but it does mean they're quite commercial. So what they're doing at the moment is they are consulting with industry, with the financial services sector, and they're saying, what do we need to do to make you more competitive? And you know what? They actually look at Asia. So they actually, we have an expression Which comes up all the time in the newspapers, which is Singapore on Thames. I'm sorry, it's not Malaysia on Thames, but we look at what's going on in Asia, and we see the rate of growth that's being achieved in Asia. And we also see, you know, outside of the EU, that there are opportunities. So this whole Brexit thing in the short term causes people to be nervy, but in the longer term, people look at the opportunities outside. And so people like Rishi Sunak right now are talking with exchanges, you know, around the world. They're talking about how to improve competitiveness, listings, and bringing money in. And you know what? Actually, the IPOs in the UK have been extremely strong in the first half of the year. So we've had more companies and a bigger value of companies listing. I think it's something like $40 billion of listings so far in the UK. And that makes it the third biggest market in terms of listings after China and the US globally.
Now, Thomas, focusing on the current pandemic, England has lifted most of its COVID restrictions, and so far, any new cases have fallen within the expected numbers. However, there are concerns that we'll see a spike in cases in September when schools reopen. How significant would any future lockdowns impact earnings and market sentiment?
Well, look, it is very central to the way sentiment is behaving at the moment. I mean, I would say that in Europe, the UK has been the canary in the coal mine, I hope, because what's happened is that once you get to a certain level of herd immunity, and I believe looking at various studies that you can see that over 90% of the UK population now has antibodies. And most of those people have got those antibodies through vaccines, because the rate of vaccination is very high now. It's over 60% for adults. At the moment, what that's done is it's broken the link between cases and deaths. And that's the main takeaway from this. So that's why the UK is seen as a canary in the coal mine, because if we can get through this next few months and avoid the spike in deaths and hospitalizations, currently the deaths is running at about 50, maybe some days 100, but that's like a bad flu season. So you know, the markets don't panic when there's a bad flu season. So it's only if those numbers, the deaths numbers and the hospitalizations numbers, increases again in the winter that we will have a problem. And I think then you would know that the vaccines weren't that effective if that happens, which is a problem. So you know, there's a lot of people looking at the UK and saying, if we can get through the next 2 or 3 months with the schools going back and people mixing, you know, so far it's been okay. The lockdowns ended in the middle of July, and here we are, you know, in August. It's fine. There's not been a pickup in cases. So far so good. And I hope that also bodes well for everybody in Asia once you get to that herd immunity.
I want to follow up on your comments about the sterling. What trajectory do you see compared to the dollar? And are you expecting a strengthening in the second half of the year?
I think it's harder call against the dollar, partly because the dollar itself is such a difficult currency to call. You can think you've got one half of the equation all nailed, and you believe you understand where the sterling part of the equation is going, but then the dollar does something unexpected, and that can be linked to all sorts of different things. So I prefer to look at sterling against other currencies. I would also say that actually, you know, one of the reasons for that is that both the UK and the US could be one of the earliest countries in the world to raise interest rates. In fact, we had some news out of the Bank of England that the tone of the messaging out of the Bank of England Monetary Policy Committee was surprisingly hawkish. They do an inflation report in August. We are talking about 4%, the Bank of England talking about 4% inflation in the fourth quarter of 2021, year on year. 4% for a developed market like the UK without the kind of structural growth that you see in parts of Asia is quite high. So 4% is something that is raising eyebrows here. And they believe that that's going to slip back down to 2-2.5% in the next 2 years. But they are a little bit worried. Now, obviously, that means that we could hike rates here in the UK, and that could be good news for sterling. And certainly, I would say that's true for the sterling against the euro, because there's no chance in the short term that the ECB raises interest rates, because there are structural reasons why that's not going to happen with the Southern Europe performing so badly. So that's why I would be more high conviction on sterling against the euro than sterling against the dollar.
Thomas, what sectors would you recommend your investors be overweight in when it comes to UK equities?
That's a great question. Now, I run income money, and I think it's worth saying the importance of some of the biggest dividend payers in the UK market. So mining, this you may think that's strange because obviously the UK doesn't do very much mining, but the big mining companies from Australia are listed in the UK. So Rio Tinto and BHP are the biggest. And obviously the iron ore price has been remarkably strong in the last year. So that means that the combination of Rio Tinto, BHP, Anglo American, also Glencore, which is a big mining business, those actually, if you add up the dividends from all of those companies, it comes to around 25% of the total UK dividend payout this year. So this is enormous. So I would say, first of all, have a look at the sector composition. You know, obviously there are lots of other sectors. There's oil, oil and gas, you know, like BP and Shell, which are recovering very nicely. Cash flows are very strong. So they're going to be paying growing dividends again, as they've announced recently. And then you've got other sectors like industrial companies, consumer companies, and old fashioned, you know, utility companies, telecoms companies. So the other sector that is massive in the UK is finance. We've already talked about that a little bit. So I am bullish on financial companies because I think that the cost of money is very low at the moment. There is abundant money supply, and that money supply is finding its way into assets, whether they be real assets like land or commodities and even stock markets. And so anything that is scarce, like those three things, are seeing upward pressure on their prices. So I would say the UK, with that kind of combination of resources, financials, and then everything else, is set pretty fair in this macro backdrop.
Thomas, thank you so much for your time this morning. That was Thomas Moore, Senior Investment Director at Aberdeen Standard Investments. Keep it here to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.